Thank you for joining us on More Than That, a podcast where we dive a little bit deeper into what was preached on Sunday morning. We hope that this is enriching to your walk with Christ and that you love God and people that much more so that we can extend the glory of God to the people he has placed in our lives. So buckle up and enjoy the conversation. Hey everybody, welcome to More Than That. This is a podcast where we pull the preacher, the speaker aside that was up front on Sunday, and we just ask them if they had 10 more minutes to expound on something or introduce a new topic, what would that be? So I am sitting here with
Rafael Mkanda.
And my name is Tyler Henry. So Rafael, if you had 10 extra minutes, what would you have went into?
Just maybe dived in a little bit more into the whole priestly image when it comes to just how Christ fulfills the priestly office. Because what ends up happening is that there is just watching now, and so how Christ fulfills that, and I think I really mentioned just the whole idea that, like, while all the other high priests were, a lot of them ended up having some faults of their own, we see Christ actually fulfilling that office, being not even requiring garments, because he himself he himself, and through his life, he adorned the, he basically, like, he made the attributes of God shine, right?
Yeah.
So he lived a holy life. And there we see it says, make holy garments. He lived a holy life. And then for glory and beauty, he was glorious in himself. Like in terms of we see him, even after the resurrection, we see now like the glory of God shining in his life and then also in his resurrection. And then when you read in the book of Revelation, it's like Christ is glorious, right? But then the whole idea of Christ being beautiful, that if you saw these things, you were meant to see, you're meant to see beauty, beauty according to God's description, not beauty, like, which is actually not beauty according to our description. And so when you saw this thing, it was like gold. It was like purple, scarlet, and all the other things. And it was beautiful. And Christ comes in and he is, he really makes God, like he presents to us just the beauty of God. And then so in all that, I think just there we see Christ very well suited for our deepest needs. And what I was going to spend more time is just really maybe a massaging a lot more in terms of like, hey, let's look at maybe what you really think you need and then really show you that like what you need is actually like it's behind the curtain and a way has been made for you to enter in there. What you really truly need, this is not a, like we say, this is not a self-service kind of deal. You can't come up with your own righteousness. And I think that's actually like what really kind of pressing in that and just saying, we are people that like to justify ourselves. We like to make ourselves presentable, but like, and but yet, actually, like in our trying to do so, we fail often, and then we end up feeling as if God looks at us according to our own merits, right? But this is not, like in here, in this realm, you're not, it's not your merit, it's his merit. And so, and the whole idea of like, then what, now what? Now that Christ is our high priest, what are some of our deepest needs that he meets? And so just to highlight some of those things of like where, you know, in Hebrews chapter 2:17, it says Christ is the merciful and faithful high priest. So he is merciful, extends mercy of God towards us, but he's also like, he's faithful high priest. He's faithful where we are not faithful. And he serves God with all his heart. Yeah. So it then makes it so amazing when you get to the Mount of Transfiguration. First at Jesus' baptism, this is my son in whom I'm pleased with. And then at the Mount of Transfiguration, I think it's Matthew 19, where God looks at Jesus in the presence of the law and in the presence of Moses and Elijah. You get to see God says, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased in. Listen to him. Follow him. Like, follow him. And when you follow him, you actually now, like, for every follower of Christ, he trains us how to serve God with all our hearts. And he is the one who is, he is faithful. He trains us in faithfulness, which is the fruit of the Spirit, right? Being faithful. And then he is the one, the high priest, whom we confess. So just really just saying that, like, man, and I think I touched on this a little bit, but really to see that every trial, every temptation that we go through is to actually maybe shake our confession. And when we're saying confession, we're not only just saying it with our mouths. It's to shake our conviction, because we confess out of our conviction. It's to shake our conviction, at that conviction that Jesus is Lord. And then really, like, maybe even Hebrews 6:20 says that he is the high priest forever. And I think there is actually, like, is to rebuttal even, like you and I, we're human, right? And we...
Last time I checked.
Yeah, last time I checked. And there's a lot of times when we feel like we've blown it. There's a lot of times where we feel like, and it could even just be today, when I was looking and I'm saying, I don't even deserve to be. Because of just like, because of maybe just like, maybe my proneness to wander or all those things. But yet really there in Hebrews 6:20, it says high priest forever. Like, it's like, okay. Because it's easy to see him as the high priest 2,000 years ago who did. And it's easy to see him as my high priest when I got saved and he forgave my sin. But what about today?
Yeah.
What about for your sins today? Is he still the one who is interceding for you and I? Romans 8 is going to say, yes, he is. Right? And Hebrews is going to say he forever leads intercession for us. So, man, what would that do if we were to fully believe that?
Yeah.
What would that do to maybe like maybe our stubborn sins that have lingered for a long time and we've heard over and over the song of condemnation in our ears? Like, what would that look like, you know? And then it says in Hebrews 9:11, the priest of the good things that are already here. Like, that now is one of the reasons why I don't give up on Christianity. Because I'm like, what inheritance? Like, the book of Ephesians, it talks about the great inheritance that we have as believers. What inheritance am I blind to that I actually might already have? There is a lot of times when I've found myself looking for something and I didn't know that I already had it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like me breaking down on the side of the highway and calling my insurance for towing. And then they're like, oh, yeah, you already have a full tow package on this, this, and that. That's actually like, can you just imagine with my little brain, what are some of the things that, because today I'm seduced by sin or whatever it is, that like it's probably because I have not even really, really gotten to tap in into what kind, what are the good things that are already here, you know? And the last one is the Hebrews 10:21, a priest over the house of God. Because we think when we've done the unthinkable or any other thing, and like we feel like there's our confession says, but the guilt remains. Mm-hmm. You say you freed me, but my guilt and my shame still remains. And you know what? Guilt, shame, and fear, and all those things, what they do? They make you feel as if you are outside instead of actually being inside. But here, the scripture says he is a great priest over the house of God, meaning that, bro, like, I'm always in because I confess Christ and I hold on to Christ. But what about the feelings of being outside? Yeah, I need to even eventually defy those. And because, like, as soon as I feel, one of the reasons why we go back to our sins is because we're already feeling like I'm outside anyway. So I might as well go back to my little shack over there and take shelter there.
You're outside and you're lacking a relationship, so you're looking for something to get you into some sort of relationship.
Yeah, and then it's usually not good. And then I just keep on going back to that little shack, and that shack proves unfaithful because, like, I'm still getting hit by hail and all that stuff. And then it's like, but I think if I was Satan, I would help you to literally, like, I will be hell-bent on help making you forget that you have this merciful and high priest in the service of God, this high priest forever, this high priest of things that are already there, this high priest over the house of God. And so therefore you are actually what? You are not abandoned. Mm-hmm. You know, you are crushed, but you're not abandoned. You're, you know, just like 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says, it actually just basically says this, that like we hard-pressed on every side but not crushed, perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed, because Jesus is with us. And that changes everything. So anyway, that's my 10 minutes there.
Yeah, just initially thinking about that, just that last part, like, what's, if you were Satan, what would you try to do? And, like, you know me, I live in the world of philosophy and philosophical theology and stuff like that, which is sometimes beyond me that I enjoy that. But
that's sad. Yeah, I'm kidding.
I know. but it's now the actual term for it is escaping me, but it's almost as if Satan is trying to get us to think and believe that Jesus is historically, temporally, and spatially located 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
And outside of that, he's nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he can only live in that little space. But then we look at the resurrection and the ascension, it's like, no, it doesn't make sense. But at the same time, we're so prone to wander that, yes, we can see that. We can read that however many chapters later.
Yeah.
But not really have it sink in and set in and, like you said, fully tap into that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's also the beauty of the resurrection.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just being able to relish in that and rest in what the resurrection actually does for us, specifically regarding Christ as the high priest.
Yeah.
So, like, if you were to make this, like, turn this into, like, or insert a little bit more of a practical moment for the sermon, like, what would it look like for somebody to really, or maybe even a spiritual practice, to really encourage somebody and help them into that tapping?
I would say then it would be John McCormick wrote a book called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think hurry... C.S. Lewis said Harry is the devil. It's not a hook. Like, it just basically, like, Harry, maybe slowing down.
Mm.
Slowing down a lot, like creating, I would say the creating stations where you slow down and you don't only just make, like someone said, like someone can work in a rose garden,
mm-hmm.
plant and do that, be pricked by them and all that, but never stop, sit down and smell their own roses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, so there are some people who come in and they see just the beauty. You can work in there and do all mm-hmm. that stuff. And I think we can get to that point with Jesus where what you were just talking about, mental ascent needs to actually become almost like, yes, I can make, like, so there's no one who's a believer who you can talk to and they can say, like, if you say, do you believe Jesus rose from the dead? Oh, yeah, I do.
Mm-hmm.
But what resurrection implications does that have? Like, what are the implications on my yeah. knife today?
Yeah.
And some of that stuff, I think the practice of eliminating hurry specifically to meditate mm-hmm. on some of these scriptures that are like, what does, like, for example, what I just walked up, high priest forever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hold on. Like, it's kind of just like, what did the priest do?
Mm-hmm.
He stood on behalf of God's people, you know, and then he stood for the people on behalf of God. You're meaning Jesus, he's high priest forever. Let me soak in that for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, and I know we're about to get to the end of the year. We like to be able to say, I finished my Bible. I read my Bible. But I think the whole idea of just like stopping and meditating and really, mm-hmm. really letting that truth really impact and begin to massage that truth even yeah. where it really like, and begin to ask, okay, if he's high priest forever, where is it in my life today that I feel like I still need a priest?
Mm-hmm.
What problem in my life today am I acting like a functional atheist,
mm-hmm.
even though I'm actually like, you see what I mean?
Yeah,
what way is it that I'm acting like I'm an orphan when I've been, like that whole, like he's a priest over the household of God.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where is it that I'm acting like I have no one to fight for me? And then begin to massage that in there.
Yeah.
And then, and I would say a practical way as well is invite brothers and sisters. Like, invite maybe the gift of correction from other brothers and sisters
yeah.
where you can be able to even just like ask people that are with you and just say, hey, where is it in my life that you see I really try to become my own priest?
Mm-hmm.
Where is it that in my life that you see maybe I am not believing in this truth a little bit more? Mm-hmm. I think that's now the gift of community. Or the gift of maybe your spouse, who probably tells you straight
just
up.
Just thinking, like, if you need that, I think maybe one of the best things you can do is get married.
To those that are already married, at least, like, I love my wife because she's not impressed. Everybody's like, hey, pastor, hey. She's not impressed with who I am.
You're just Raphael.
Yeah, she gives me, she's a gift of God's yeah. grace towards me in the fact that, like, she can help me to be able to see some of the inconsistencies mm-hmm. in my life where I'm like, yeah, let's kind of tap into that for a little bit.
Yeah.
Why am I doing that? And then the gift of kids, too. Kids will do, they're also not impressed. They don't really. And so
mm-hmm.
just people, at least, like, surround yourself. I think that's going to be a practical one
mm-hmm.
Of doing that. And then maybe slowing down to meditate. And then also as well, just like as you get convicted, invite community in so that you're not fighting mm-hmm. by yourself. And also the reason why I say that is because Jesus is not only just our high priest, he's also making us a royal priesthood.
Yeah.
And so what that simply means as well is that, like, he's also put people that can also intercede on our behalf, on behalf of a dying world, yes, and then so that they would come to know the Lord. But also on behalf, if you realize like what the priests were for, if you read, for example, like I think it's Hebrews 5, verse 1 to 2, the priests were to deal gently with those that are ignorant and are going astray. Mm. So the priesthood of all believers, that simply means mm-hmm. also that like we should be a society characterized with dealing with each other gently and being able to bring each other. So that's also just the gift of flying together mm-hmm. in community as well. I'd say that would be a practical kind of big one because...
Yeah.
Because sometimes we think, you know, sometimes we think, I need help. Somebody asked me and they said, there was one person I was talking to and they were like, God hasn't answered my prayer. Where is God and where is? And I was like, well, God has been working through someone who's sitting right next to you, your wife.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all these other things. And then I was like, hey, God has been working through the church as well. So you can't say God has been silent. Because like, he's also put the priesthood of believers mm-hmm. around you, and they're constantly at least pointing your sin out and then pointing you to your Savior as well. So
Yeah, and I just want to make something clear, because mm-hmm. you mentioned like, you know, being super excited that you read through the Bible in the entire year and stuff like that. It's like, we don't want to say that's a bad thing.
No. Obviously,
it's a really, really good thing.
I'm reading it for the third time around. Don't ask me how, but like...
Show off. No, I'm kidding.
Like, I'm reading. I am literally like reading. And I'm enjoying it. So that's a good thing. But at the same time, like, it's always like the helicopter, like the...
You want to get the big picture.
Yeah, you want to get the big picture. But then there's sometimes when you notice that tree, sit down. Enjoy the view from that angle mm-hmm. where you're like, wow. Yeah. Like, I just read 2 Kings 5 the other day. And I spent more time just reading the story of Naaman.
Mm-hmm.
And just like, and reading it there because like, God has really pressed that story in me for the past couple of months. And then so I spent some time there.
Yeah.
Like, and you know, there's just this time where it's like, yeah, keep driving. But man, did you ever notice that little restaurant that's like on the mm-hmm. side of the road that like, and it, what does it serve? What does it have? Let me stop there. Let me check out what's in there. And then all of a sudden, it's like God's grace coming. I'm looking at, I'm like, wow, there is grace for those that are like, this guy was like highly favored, mm-hmm. but he still was a leper.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, man, that just speaks of like a whole lot of us today. Like where I'm like, yeah, I might look like I'm blessed, but man, what about the lingering sins and all that mm-hmm. stuff? Where is my leprosy here? Like, where's my, and then so in that way then, and then that was used. And then I went and listened to a sermon by Tony Evans on that. And I went and listened to like a whole bunch of other things. And like, it's just why? Because I felt like God was putting a finger on that.
Mm-hmm.
I think anything God puts a finger on, slow down. It might, mm-hmm. you might, you know, you do very well, at least in this. You can study something over 3-4 months and like just stay on that topic. I think a lot of us usually are not listening also to, man, what is it that God is growing me on this season?
Yeah. When I think that's like for how I do things, it's not something that was natural.
Yeah.
It's something like I mentioned just before we were on here, like my ADHD mind needs something like with the collapsing and with the mind node thing that you were talking about. Like I need something to change into like constant movement.
Yeah.
But learning the practice of meditating on like a single passage or a single verse within its context, but also mm-hmm. or even just a topic, like if you really are interested in marriage and what that looks like in the Bible, don't be afraid to just like sit there and and smell the roses and just be awestruck by the beauty that is marriage.
And
so as you're reading through the year, you know, it can be done in 90 days. So it takes a lot, but it can be done in 90 days. So what does it look like to take some major themes through the year or yeah. every year, as you're reading through the Bible, read through it and look and see how the glory of God is being shown yeah. throughout the Bible. And then next year, do the same thing with a different topic. Like, mm-hmm. you can do that big overarching view and sit down and smell the roses of a very specific attribute of God and learn to love Him that much deeper because you know where everything, how it all connects.
Yeah, yeah. That's good. That's good. Yeah, we need to just kind of develop that. I think the, and you said something about beauty. Like, I think we are people that are, like, easily attracted to some of the things we, you know, in my culture, we have a saying that says a fig that is beautiful outside is rotten on the inside. Like, we mm-hmm. are people that are, like, where do we see beauty? Where do we, what catches our attention?
Yeah.
Like, and yet, this is actually, like, where the more you gaze at Christ, the more... And through His word, the more you will see His beauty.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's actually what robs us of, like,
yeah.
hey, can you just linger? Like, linger just a little bit longer, mm-hmm. you know? And, yeah. So it's going to require eliminating hurry for that.
Yeah, eliminating hurry and a lot of training.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's okay if you fail.
Yeah, it's like, okay. Yeah, yeah. So I usually... So there's sometimes when... I'm not ashamed to say this. There's sometimes when my mind is just racing,
mm-hmm.
it's scattering and it's everywhere.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I've that little clock.
Mm-hmm.
Like I will put 20 minutes on there and just say, for the next 20 minutes, I'm going to spend time. I'm going to pray.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you ever realized what happens when you put it down and you say, I'm going to pray for the next... All of a sudden, everyone and their uncles and their cousins, all of a sudden, they want your attention.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, your fingers are actually like scrolling and they're wanting mm-hmm. to get to like social media and all that stuff. And it's like, it is a fight.
Yeah.
So that's what like the training aspect is that. It's like, let me train myself to say no for 30 minutes or an mm-hmm. hour and specifically just say, no, this is an hour where I'm teaching my own heart,
yeah.
tuning my own heart, like you're a guitarist, tuning my own heart to actually like, to say, hey, He mm-hmm. is more important than anything else. So
yeah,
that's that.
I think that's a good note to end on.
Yeah.
But yeah, thank you, Raphael. Thank you for the discussion. That was really good. Thank you for walking us through a really difficult passage or multiple passages in Exodus. So just want to also remind you that this is not a replacement for the Sunday sermon, and it's also not a replacement for being connected in a local church. If you're in this area, whether you're visiting or you are just looking for a church, we would absolutely love to meet you, sit down, have coffee with you, get to know you, and get you connected here. So Raphael, thank you again, and have a blessed week, guys.
Bless you.